Welcome on back to the Second Helping Podcast, brought to you by Pillsbury Stuffed Waffles, a sweet maple-flavored crispy waffle stuffed with either sausage, egg, and cheese or bacon, egg, and cheese. It's convenient, filled with high-quality ingredients, sold in your local convenience store, already prepared and ready for you to grab in the warmer. We love them. We think you'll love them. Go out and get one today.
All right, welcome on back to Barstool Breakfast. We have Paul LaDuca in the house today. You may know Paul, catcher for the Dodgers, played on the Marlins, played on the Mets, and now he's a full-time Barstool employee. So I guess my first question out of the gate is, how the fuck did you get to Barstool Sports?
Wow, that's actually a very good question. You know, it's pretty funny. It had to be 2013, 2014, somewhere in that area. I kept getting texts from Dave, not texts, tweets. And I actually have him on my phone because I keep him for Dave just to razz on me every once in a while. And one of them says, the harder that Paul LaDuca ignores me, the harder I have a crush. So I remember my buddy calling me going, hey, man, do you realize, you know, Barstool Sports is an up-and-coming, you know, company here. The guy that's hitting you up is pretty big. I had no clue who he was at the time, right?
You big time him.
Yeah.
Unintentionally big time him?
Unintentionally big time. And you're right, 100%. And then he said something like, I have one that says, hey, Paul LaDuca, I see your beard. So we all know why Dave has a beard, because of me.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, it is.
Because of you.
I literally have the evidence in my phones, okay. If you want it.
You know, on the video, we're going to pull these up.
Yeah.
And we're going to show everyone.
100%. Yeah. So I got introduced to him at a racetrack, and then I started doing rundowns probably 13, 14. And this, at that time, that was when KFC was here. Big Cat was in Chicago.
Everyone was remote.
Yeah, everybody was doing it. We were doing it Skype.
Right.
And Dave was holding the wiffle ball bat. It was in those old
now,
cool
were
days.
You a regular on?
I would
on
come
there?
On probably like, I would say once a month, once every couple of months, something like that, you know?
Why did Dave, like, reach out to you?
I just think he loved that I was a guy who was a horse racing. He was a horse racing guy.
Right. And now you do stuff on TVG. You do stuff on Naira. Well, you did.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So I think he liked that part of it, and he loved that I gambled too as well. So whenever he would come to Saratoga, we would hang out.
Okay.
And we were always sweating any kind of game that was on, or we were betting the ponies together.
Just degenerate stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And the thing about it, I think Dave was also a good baseball player, and I think he's actually – you know, he'll talk about with this or that. I still think baseball is his favorite sport, as he likes that the best because he was good at it. So I think we had that connection too, you know?
And so you mentioned the horse stuff. Barstool was obviously going in like a gambling direction.
Yeah.
And I know that part of the reason you got brought in, again, we just met today in the kitchen.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is all new to me, and I think it might be new to some other people who aren't familiar with mm-hmm. your past and all that. Barstool is going in a gambling direction. Is that the content that you're going to be doing here with blackjack mostly? Are you going to be doing horse stuff? Do you have a plan?
We're going to do a little bit of everything. We want to try to do some horse stuff. We will put out like our selections and stuff like that on a hopefully a daily basis or on big day basis. It's a little bit
horse selections or just anything selections.
Well, anything selections too. Yeah. Now college basketball just started and football, trying to give you the best advice we can with our knowledge. Been gambling for a long time. Blackjack has too as well. He's professional, very good at what he does. So. Yeah, brought in to do that and to bolster Barstool Bets, along with Dave. Dave, you know, a lot of people, I know he's always throwing a fit on Twitter, but him and Big Cat play a lot, but they're sharp, too. I think a lot sharper than people think. So,
I feel like
have a lot of fun. It seems like everybody in here gambles. It's great.
Oh, it's fucking great. I making a gambler, it's funny. That actually taught me about gambling. Like, my brother's a gambler. My uncles are gamblers.
Yeah.
I was never really into it, but being around everyone here, I mean, you start to get into it. It's just like almost guilty by association.
100%. I think we've had Marty's coming up to me, who's a DG completely, and he doesn't play horses. And Marty Mush, who you're talking about, obviously. And he's like, I got him playing horses already. But I was reading lines back in the day. I would say I was 12. So
you've been in there.
Yeah. So like 80s, mid 80s, used to have to call two lines. And when my dad was,
what does that mean? Call lines.
Well, my dad was a bookmaker.
Okay.
Okay. So you'd have to call lines. There was no internet. You didn't have to read the lines. So people would call a 1-800 number, and I was the kid on the line. Cincinnati Bengals -4, Pittsburgh Steelers +6. So then the people knew the line,
yeah.
And then they would call my father, And then they
That's how they play their plays.
So
this shit's in your blood.
Yeah, it's been in my blood, man.
That's unbelievable. Yeah. When did you retire from MLB?
2008 was my last full year, and then I tried to make a comeback in 2010, and I blew out my arm in spring training with the Rockies, and that was my fun. That was it.
And since then, you've been just enjoying retirement, doing your own thing on TVG, yeah, getting into the TV game a little bit.
Yeah, I was doing stuff for Naira and Fox and TVG, so I've been in TV for the last 10 years. It's crazy. In 2009, somebody asked me to get on a set in a horse race, and boom, 10 years later, I was in the horse racing industry as an analyst, doing it for Fox for the last 4 years, and didn't realize I was going to do that, to be honest with you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And here I am doing a lot of different shows. I was doing Little League World Series stuff and college baseball stuff. So, and enjoyed it very much so. And then, you know, just sort of crossed that path. And when Dave and I talked, we were like, you know, it's time for me to join Barstool, because it seemed like to me.
When was this?
This was about a month ago, you know.
What happened quick? Because I was going to ask, like, was this like a nightmare negotiation? I feel like a lot of times we get athletes, everyone wants to be, I feel for the most part, people want to come to Barstool. But a lot of times when you have an athlete who's used to making athlete money, that professional money. Was the negotiation a pain in the ass?
No, it wasn't. It's a pain in the butt to get a hold of Dave because he's so busy. He's working his butt off. I mean, you see here on a Wednesday, and he's running around like his chicken with his head cut off. I mean, and I understand where he's at. We were at the Breeders' Cup together, and people are asking me, where's Dave? I'm like, listen, man, he's on vacation. I'm on vacation. We're doing this together. I got my own content. He's got his own content. Like, listen, he's got to live his own life. Like, he's my boss now. Now, I understand what you're saying, but what people don't realize here at Barstool, Dave gives you your own platform.
Right.
And he just told me straight out, listen, come with me with some ideas. We'll see where it goes. And then you make your own money. You make your own self here. And to me, the base salary and the salary that Dave gives you is him telling you, you know what? Now go make what you want to go make and work your butt off.
Sink or swim.
Exactly.
Right.
And that's what I always loved about Dave. He's always been honest and straightforward with me. And I think before, it was just not the right time for me to come here.
And before meaning?
Like, you know, 5-6 years ago wasn't the right time. And now, for me, I've hit the plateau where, like, I want to get into this space. And the space is starting to get big.
And
I think it's going to grow even bigger here at Barstool. And obviously, the way this company is going, man, you just go upward.
Right.
You just go upward.
And I feel like, especially for gambling guys like yourself, and just look at the website, what's happened. You have Barstool Bets downloaded on the phone, obviously. Everyone download Barstool Bets if you haven't already.
Yeah.
I feel like that's one of those things where when it becomes legal, it's like the infrastructure is there. We just flip a switch, and it's like, okay.
Yeah, it's going to be night-night. I mean, obviously, they dropped the ball in New York. But when gambling comes here in New York, it's going to be night-night. It's in Jersey now, yeah. They're Colorado, if I'm not mistaken, is on a complete sweat today. It was like 52 to 48% gambling, no gambling. There's a lot. One, Pennsylvania now is legal. They're building these beautiful casinos around everywhere. With amazing sports books. I heard the one they put in the racetrack at Parks is amazing.
I don't think they have it in Mass. Where are you from?
Yeah, they got it in Boston now.
They have sports book in Boston?
I think they built an Encore.
They have Encore is beautiful.
By the way, I was
going to
ask you, have you been there? Is it unbelievable?
I haven't, but my brother goes there at lunch to play cards sometimes.
And he says it's awesome, huh?
He says it's beautiful. Yeah. I mean, it's in Everett. Ugh. But what are you going to do?
See, I don't know that area. You know better than me. But just the gambling space has gone to a whole new level, and it just shows you that the neighborhood bookie's going away. It's the bottom line. Okay, like, so now you got to pull out your own money, and you can't bet on credit anymore, which a lot of people like to still bet on credit. People still will because they like to do
and
that.
When you bet, you bet. What's the craziest bet you've ever made? Any nightmare stories growing up? Do you ever get yourself in trouble?
I've got thrown out of a racetrack. It's been a couple more racetrack ones than cashing sports tickets. I've cashed some big sports tickets, but I had a racetrack story of when I cashed a ticket on a a horse. My dad had owned a sports bar for years, and he kept asking this guy, listen, you know, he was a
Where
jockey.
Was this?
This is in Arizona.
Yeah. And that's where you grew up.
Yeah.
Born in Brooklyn. Arizona.
Yeah. he was a jockey and he had a bill. And my dad was one of those guys that it was a local bar. He'd let you build a bill if you knew you, if you were a local. And after a while, he was like, man, either you give me, he was a jockey, either give me a horse or you pay the bill. One of the other things. So we
give
went,
me a horse. That's such a degenerative I've ever heard.
Right?
One.
Yeah, yeah.
Give me a horse.
So we went to the racetrack. He gave him a horse that day. Went to the racetrack. My dad had really bad ulcers, and we got there late. My had to get me out of school. Cut me out of school.
Oh my god, you dirtbag!
Yeah, right. And back in those days, there used to be a line. It was hard to make a bet, and I literally raced to the window, took money out of my dad's pocket because he was throwing up in the bathroom because he was having ulcers. And I was kept looking at the gate and trying to time it perfectly. And I asked the lady, I said, 2,000 to win on the 11. I'll never forget the name.
2,000 to win on the 11. And now, hold on 1 second.
The name of the horse was Sweeter Day. I still remember the name of the horse.
What year was this?
I'm going to say 85. So I was 13.
Grand isn't – that's not a joke in 2019, in 1985.
Yeah, exactly. So now she looks and goes, wait a second. You're not old enough to bet. Goes to put the thing in, and the bell goes off. Now the ticket's live. The horse wins. So now what ends up happening is when that horse wins, the teller's responsible for the ticket.
Right.
Yeah. So now you have security guards. They're not cops, security guards. They take me into Turf Paradise Security Jail. They don't want to pay me. Because now my dad's ulcers have obviously gotten very, very, very...
Right.
They're okay now.
The vomiting has increased.
Yeah, right, yeah. Now I'll never forget, I gave the ticket to my dad real quick. He goes, give me the ticket. So I gave him the ticket, and he had the ticket. They're trying to get the ticket back, saying, listen, my dad's like, listen, either you're going to... You're $24,000 in the till because it was out of the pool.
Right.
You couldn't put it back in the pool. And... ended up getting
that's
out of there.
So much money for me to even like think about betting. I'm just like, I don't have that gene, and I know that a lot of people do, but for me to like put down $2,000 is just fucking insane to me.
Yeah, it was, listen, impulse, one of those things where I knew my dad, and like, you gotta understand, when you're 12 years old and you're told a horse is gonna win, you believe it more than when you're my age now. You know what I mean? Now you're starting to think, okay, is this guy really giving me a hot tip or not? What's going on here or whatever? Da 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 da. And the lady got fired. Okay. And I'll never forget, my dad waited outside and gave the woman, I think it was $6,000 or $7,000 in cash.
That's so good.
And it was more than she made that year. And like,
probably
she
some
went
old
from,
lady.
She went from crying. She was in her like probably like mid 50s. Right. Something. She loved it. She goes, oh my God, this is more than I make. Because my dad's like, if you didn't punch this ticket, because my dad knew.
Right.
She was going to want the one they were going to hammer down on.
Oh, absolutely.
But the track wasn't losing any money.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It's already accounted for.
Exactly. It's already accounted for. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You have brothers and sisters?
I have two older brothers. One just passed away.
Sorry to hear
From diabetes. Thank you. I appreciate that. And I have another older brother, Anthony. Yeah, we all
Italians.
Like to gamble. Yeah. 100% Italians without the temper.
Oh, yeah. Listen, that's rare. I'm Irish. Large is Irish.
Yeah, I know Large is Irish.
So we got that little bit in us. But you said the siblings were into gambling as well?
Yeah, we were. My brother Anthony, more horses. My oldest brother Frankie, who just passed away, and my dad, they like playing sports. My brother Frankie loved playing baseball and hockey, which I was never – I always played. I'm college basketball, college football, and football. That's what I love to play.
You went to ASU?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so those were my sports to play. But Blackjack got me playing hockey now, and Grinnell got me
playing
hockey.
You're talking about hockey. Betting hockey.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know Rear Admiral?
No.
Oh, my God. You want to talk to a hockey guy?
Oh, my God.
That's your guy you get picks from. But, no, yeah, that's interesting.
But I actually have done okay playing it, to be honest with you. It's not that bad.
I feel like it's one of the easiest sports to bet, and of course I'm saying that now, I'll probably fucking jinx you. But, but every time I see Grinnell, he's got a tab, he's just up.
No, he's sharp. I always, Mikey always listen to him as well, and I love the Spit and Chicklets podcast.
Oh, they're great.
Yeah, the best.
So what are your thoughts on The Office so far? I mean, is it weird? Where do you come from? You come from Jersey.
Yeah, I come from actually Long Island.
You're
right
from
now.
Long Island.
Yeah,
basically
Garden City. Because when I came in back out here for the Mets, it was just easier for me to live on Long Island to get to Shea. So I stayed there, actually looking right now for a place in the city.
Yeah.
So
in Manhattan?
Yeah.
There you go.
So just to make the commute obviously a lot easier. But yeah, I mean,
is it weird coming? Like, I can't imagine being a professional athlete and then having a regular job. Like, this isn't a regular job, but just like, okay, got to be in at this time. Which we don't, you know, we don't have hours, but it does have to be just an adjustment, right?
Yeah, it is adjustment, but, you know, you get the platform to talk about things that I like to talk about. I mean, I like to talk about the World Series. I like to talk about gambling on college football. I love, like, hearing other people's angles. I think being a catcher and putting the puzzle together, trying to get hitters out, is sort of the puzzle of gambling, too, and trying to figure out which side you like, what angles you like. And there's a method to everybody's madness, you know what I mean? So I like to observe. When it comes to the office,
were you here for the Brandon Devlin shove?
No, I was not. I was actually doing work for Barstool. We were out at the Breeders' Cup, but no, I heard about it. And
how was that, by the way?
It was fun, a lot of fun. Yeah. Breeders' Cup's a lot of fun. Yeah, it was like Brandon looked a little like John Daly.
Didn't he?
Yeah, he's a little doppelganger for John Daly. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, well, that's great. I mean, we're obviously happy to have you here. So what's the... like, what's the end game here? You want to get into the podcast game, obviously, with Blackjack and those guys, and you want to do your thing. Where should people who are listening right now, who are fans of Barstool and who aren't fans of Barstool, where should we look for you to find you on the site, social media, all that stuff?
Yeah, well, Paulo's Duca 16. That was my number when I played. I am blogging on the website, our picks, and blogging horse racing as much as we can. And Paulo Duca 16 on Instagram. And I follow a lot of people. I actually did it myself. Anything hashtag Mets, anything hashtag Dodgers, anything hashtag Marlins.
You're in there.
Yeah, because I wanted to follow my fans to follow me. You know what I mean? So questions that you have, I feel like those are the best things that I want a podcast. So Blackjack and I are working on things on, obviously, a gambling-type podcast that we want to do to help people out maybe like a couple hours before game time.
Right.
And then recap everybody in the office, because everybody in here gambles.
Everyone has a pick.
Everybody has a pick, so we can recap that. Running tab of people. And to educate people on horse racing and educate people on gambling, because I think pop culture gambling is going to become really, really big here in a minute. I mean, you're going to be able to bet on American Idol, which you can.
I mean, they had the Alabama LSU is on Saturday.
Yeah.
And there was like, there's a line for whether or not people will clap for Trump. It was like +160.
It's unbelievable.
-120.
I think there was one out earlier in the year, because The Rock had put out that he was going to run for
the
president.
Rocket.
and he was +300 whether he'd put himself on the ballot. I mean, so regular people want to bet on Dancing with the Stars. Like, moms at home are going to want to bet $20 on you know, whoever it is. You know, I mean, Turner, whoever.
Right.
You know?
Are horses your poison, though? Like, horses is where you love the horses. Because I have a friend of mine, Damien, who is so obsessed with horse racing. And I'll go up to Saratoga sometimes, and I'll get the book, and he'll go be through, oh, the mud numbers on this guy, and look at this, and here's a trainer, and here's this and that. And there's so many intricacies that the average person doesn't know. So I feel like to have someone explaining that will probably be good for the sport, too. And you still have the ties at TVG and all that stuff, right?
Yeah, so I basically... I've got a pick five going here in about 11 minutes.
That's why you're checking the phone. Listen, we'll wrap. I understand. We got
it. No. So, yeah, you're right. I it's in my blood.
Yeah.
And it's my first thing. And a lot of people don't realize it is the best odds in gambling, but it's a very tough sport.
Because it takes knowledge, right?
It takes knowledge. But you got to have some luck, knowledge. You got to piece things together to hit big. But, yeah, it's in my blood. Because – when you're picking a football game, it's 50-50.
Right.
When I can get 8-1 on a horse I'd rather take that shot. It's more of a gamble, obviously. I get it.
You can lump horses together.
Yeah, exactly. So I just love it. It's like a puzzle to me. It's like when I look at a horse race, I figure out a puzzle. Okay, who's going to the lead? Who's coming from behind? Who's doing this? Who's the best jockey? Who's the best trainer? That all goes through my head within – you know, seconds, and it keeps my mind going, and it's very much a numbers game, and I think that's what got me into when I was started catching, got me into more of horse racing and more handicapping. It's just a numbers game.
The analytical side of it.
100%.
Well, no, that's super interesting. We're going to let you go because you have that. What do you have, a pick five?
Yeah, I got a pick five at Churchill
Downs. I'm
going to
watch
baby.
That with you. But Paul Aduca, thanks for coming by Barstool Breakfast. We can find him online at Paul Aduca on all social media. Mm. And swing by the show anytime and love to hear a little more about the gambling pass and what you got going on.
I appreciate it, man. Thanks.
All right, thanks, Paul. That's it for this week's Second Helping, and remember, November is actually Movember. This year, Barstool's own Donnie Duzz is growing out his mo to save a bro. Join him on the Barstool Movember team and help us change the face of men's health. For every $50 that you fundraise on your team, you get an entry to win a trip to two to join us at the Army vs. Navy College Football Show live in December. Head to Movember.com/Barstool to join our team, grow your mustache, and fundraise for your chance to win the grand prize.